If you have your Bibles with you this afternoon, I'd like to turn over with me into the book of Psalms in chapter 89, as we consider the subject this morning, the faithfulness of God. And as we look at the subject of the faithfulness of God, we hope that out of this lesson, this message, whatever you want to call it, that you will be able to see how faithful God is, and in such a way that it will encourage you in your daily life and your walk before Him. So let's look in Psalms 89, verse number 1. We'll open here with this verse. It says, I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth I will make known thy faithfulness to all generations. You know, as you look into the subject of faithfulness, and especially the faithfulness of God, as you look into Scriptures, you'll find that it's not hard to find verses to speak about it. As a matter of fact, as if we were to go throughout this chapter, you would see the faithfulness of God spoken over quite a few times in this very chapter. And as you look into the Word of God, you'll find many more instances on the subject of the faithfulness of God. But and if we were to open up today and try to read all those, there is no possible way we could do it. And as a matter of fact, most of you all will be quite bored if we just turn from verse to verse that mention the faithfulness of God and kind of fade out in the first 10 minutes. And we hopefully you'll make it a little bit further than that today anyway. But the psalmist declares that he will make known the faithfulness of God to all generations. And you know what? That is what we're here today to do as well. We are here to magnify the faithfulness of God to our aged so that they might find comfort, so that they might find hope as their race on this earth grows closer and closer to an end. We're here to declare the faithfulness of God to the middle aged so that they might find peace in a world that is pulling them seemingly in 100 different directions. And we're here indeed to declare the faithfulness of Christ even to the youth that are here today. And maybe never forget to minister to our youth, but to minister the faithfulness of Christ to them so that they might learn that they can have faith in one in seemingly a world where they can't find faithfulness in anyone. So we need to declare the faithfulness of God throughout our generations, from the young to the old. But you know, this faithfulness, it's almost unheard of. It's almost steamy. You know, as we look into the world, you just don't find faithfulness. It's hard for us to understand what true faithfulness is. You know, we live in a world today where faithfulness is really nothing more than a byword. You know, I like to sit down and I like to watch some of the history specials. Those things interest me. And one that I have on the DVR there that I like to go back and watch sometimes is called The Men Who Built America. Now, whether you've seen it or not, but it's a show about Andrew Carnegie, about John Rockefeller, and about J.P. Morgan and several of these guys, and really how they built the original infrastructure of this nation when it comes to the economics of it. But, you know, as you watch these men who were making deals that were, in today's money, worth billions upon billions of dollars, and they would make these deals on nothing more than a handshake. Nothing more than a handshake. And you know what? They were faithful to what they said they would do. They did exactly what they said they'd do in most of these cases anyway. Today, you wouldn't imagine. You couldn't imagine making these massive deals in business without a team of New York lawyers, and still yet, have in the back of your mind that you're going to break the contract any possible time that it doesn't look any more favorable to you. That's the way it is. You know, we look at business today. We look at businesses and people that retire from business, people that's worked an entire lifetime for, you know, that good pension or whatever, and then the business come along and rip part of it or all of it away, and then the CEO get a big bonus at the end for keeping the business out of foreclosure or something like that. But what they're doing is being unfaithful to the promise made to the employees of times past. And unfaithfulness is not just in the business world, but it's just in society and whole. You know, you can just take it all the way down to the home, right? Because society is nothing more than a reflection of the home. But you know, society certainly doesn't do anything to encourage faithfulness in the home. It encourages nothing but unfaithfulness in many ways. You know, we live in a world today where it's easier to get out of a marriage than it is to get out of a DirecTV contract, right? It's about the truth of it. And often people do, because they're being unfaithful to promises made long ago, right? Some kids see the unfaithfulness of parents in keeping their promises to each other, to others, and to them, and they repeat that unfaithfulness as they go out and deal with others in the world. Some people see the unfaithfulness of their parents and they, as children, and they struggle in their mind between right and wrong, and all they do is get lost somewhere in between. It's no wonder so many kids today live without hope. You ever look at a generation that seemingly has more kids without hope than ever before? You know what? There is one. There is one that you can turn to and you can trust with all your heart. One who has been faithful, one who is faithful, and one who will always be faithful, and that is God. And that is the one whom we declare to all generations this morning, or this afternoon, I should say. Now, why is it that God is faithful when man so often fails? Well, there's five attributes of God that enable him to be faithful, five attributes that make him God, and we want to look at these just briefly this morning. Again, this afternoon, I'll never get that straight. It still feels like morning. Number one is the omniscience of God. The omniscience of God. In Psalms 147, verse number 5, you don't have to follow along with all these verses here, but because I'm just going to read one verse in each one of these. But in Psalm 147, verse number 5, it says, "Great is our Lord and of great power. His understanding is infinite." Here we're looking at the omniscience of God, that is the all-knowingness of God. You know, there is absolutely nothing that God does not know. He knows absolutely all about you. He knows all about your past. He knows all about your present. He knows all about your future. He knows what you desire. He knows what you need. He knows what you want. He knows when you're brokenhearted. He knows when you are ready and you're shouting in joy. He knows you down to the number of hairs there upon your head. And folks, that's a pretty wonderful thing to think about. And you know what's more amazing than that? God knows that not just about you, but He knows that about everyone here. And what's more amazing than that is there are 7 billion people on this planet right now, and God knows them all in that same intimate way, down to the hair on their head. And not just that. More amazing than that, folks, God knows everyone who has ever lived upon the face of this planet down to those very same ways. God knows them all. He's omniscient. One of the reasons that we're sometimes unfaithful, even when we have the best of intentions, is because we don't have all of the facts. We don't know everything that is going to happen. We don't know what tomorrow may bring. We don't know what the next 5 minutes will bring. But God does. God's never surprised by tomorrow. He's already planned for it. Already provided for it. Every little need. God is omniscient. God, number two, why God can be faithful, is the omnipotence of God. The omnipotence of God. What is the omnipotence of God? It's the attributes that show that God is indeed almighty above all. In Psalm 62, verse number 11, it says, "God hath spoken once, twice have I heard this, that power belongeth unto God." The omnipotence of God shows us indeed that there is nothing in the will of God, understand that, nothing in the will of God that He cannot perform. There is nothing that He cannot bring to pass. We're talking about the one who spoke the universe into existence just by speaking the word. There is absolutely none that is like Him. We have limitations in our lives. We have lots of limitations in our lives. And sometimes these limitations keep us from being as faithful as we like. But God has no limitations. And because of this, we know when God makes a promise that He is absolutely able to bring it to pass. And in fact, He will bring it to pass. Man cannot thwart his will. Satan cannot cause him to stumble. All that is said, he will do because he is able. The third reason that God can be found faithful is that he is omnipresent. That is, he is everywhere at all times. Everywhere at all times. Proverbs chapter 15, verse number 3 says, "The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good." David said over in Psalms 139, verses 7 and 8, "Whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? And if I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there." David understood that there was no place that he could ever go that God was not there with him. You know, one of the reasons that we often fail people is because we can't be everywhere at all times and all places. We might tell our spouse that we'll pick up the kids after school, but if we're stuck on I-64 in a wreck, we can't be there. We can't fulfill that vow that we've made that we're going to do that. God, though, is within reach at all times because he is there at all places. There is never a time that we cannot go to him in prayer and go straight to the throne room of God. In fact, there is no place that our feet will ever go that God is not there as well. When God says, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee," he is speaking words that no other person, no one else in creation could ever say. Fourthly, we can find God faithful because he is truthful. Truthful. Did you know that was one of the attributes of Christ, or of God in general? But he is truthful. Titus spoke of the veracity or the truthfulness of God when he said in Titus 1:2, "In hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began." Balaam, that prophet of hire, tells us, said of the Lord in Numbers 23:19, "God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. He hath said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good?" God is truthful. God is truthful, and understanding the truthfulness of God is essential to understanding the faithfulness of God. If God were to tell just one single lie, then you no longer could trust him to be faithful in all things. You no longer could do that. But praise God, folks, we worship a God that is truly truthful in all things and can be trusted in all things. And the fifth and last trait that is important for us to understand the faithfulness of God is to understand his immutability. What is that? What is the immutability of God? It is the fact that God never changes. God never changes. Malachi chapter 3, verse 6 says, "For I am the Lord, I change not." Of Jesus in the Bible, in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8, it says, "Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever." God does not change. Now, man changes. Man changes a lot. Your tastes change. You know, as a child, you think of all the foods that you couldn't stand to eat. Now you like them. You know, I grew up, didn't like soup, beans, fried potatoes, and green onions. Now I would love to have some. I love that kind of stuff. Maybe you're the same way. You know, we change in so many ways in our lives, from just our taste, maybe our taste in clothing, political affiliation. You think of the clothing. I'm sure you're all glad today I'm not wearing MC Hammer pants and three belts and what I used to wear. Yeah, I know. See, your taste changed. You look back on it and say, "Man, was that really what I thought looked good?" See, that's why I don't worry about what Austin wears or anything like that, because one of these days he's going to look back and do the same thing. But anyway, you know, we can become unfaithful to prior commitments because things are always changing, and we're always changing. You know, we might have made a promise long ago that we're just going to do something. You ever hear a kid say, I want to take this music lesson, I want to learn how to play the piano, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that, and they get there, and they can't stand it. You know, that we do the same thing. You get there and realize you don't like it over time. But listen, my God is faithful because He never changes. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. We don't have to worry that God will change His mind about anything, about our lives or tomorrow or anything. We don't have to worry that God will ever say, listen, you've sinned too much. I'm no longer going to like you. As a matter of fact, I'm going to step on you or whatever. Folks, whatever God has purposed in His life, He will bring it to pass. It will not change. Will not change. So these are the traits that make God faithful, one who you can trust. But you know, it's one thing to understand a doctrine, like the faithfulness of God. And it's another thing to apply that doctrine. You see, that's what we need to do in our lives. We need sometimes, yes, we need to hear about the doctrine, but we need to learn how to apply that doctrine in our lives. How do we apply the doctrine of faithfulness in our lives? Well, certainly we can do that. You see, the Word of God is sure. The Word of God is full of promises. I've read that there's over 30,000 promises in the Word of God. Did I count them? No way. I couldn't count them. That's beyond my ability to do. But that's a lot of promises. Even if it was just half that, it'd be a lot of promises. So in our time remaining, what I'd like to do with you is just to look at some of the promises in the Word of God. Because what I want to show you is how God has been faithful in times past. And then we want to show you how God has been faithful today so that you might find God faithful in what's to come tomorrow to make it a little bit easier to trust in God. Let's consider the faithfulness of God in times past. And I want to look at Abraham for a minute. So now, if you would, turn with me to Genesis in chapter 12. Genesis in chapter 12. Just going to read verses 1 through 3 as we look into Abraham and a promise made by God to Abraham. Actually, several promises. Verse number 1 says, now the Lord had said unto Abram, later becomes Abraham, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Now I brought you here because God made several promises here. First of all, He said that He would make out of Abraham a great nation. Now consider who Abraham was. He was an old man with an old barren wife. Never had any children. And God says He's going to make a great nation out of him. Was he faithful to that promise? Well, God gave him one child of promise, that is, that son Isaac. And out of Isaac we see indeed that the descendants of Abraham are as the sand on the seashore, the stars in the sky. God said He would bless Abraham. Did He do that? You know, it doesn't take long looking into the story, life story of Abraham, and you see that God blessed Abraham in a mighty way. And God blessed him to find favor among those that dwelt in the land as well. God made Abraham a very rich man. Now, God also said He'd make His name great, that He'd make the name of Abraham great. Did God fulfill that? Well, you know what? There's hardly a name on this earth that is known any better than the name of Abraham. You see, Abraham finds importance among the Jews. Abraham finds importance among Christians. Abraham finds importance among the Islamic. You see, most of the world today has heard the name of Abraham. And truly, his name is great. God said, I will bless them that bless thee and curse them, or curse him that curseth thee. You know what? God's been faithful to that as well. You can go back and you can look in the history of Israel and you can see just exactly that that's it. What happened. Those that were good to Israel, God blessed. Those that came upon Israel, God tore down. We even see that even today in the United States. The times that we have stood by Israel, this nation has prospered. The times that we've went against Israel, this nation has suffered the consequence as well. Lastly, God said that in Abraham all nations would be blessed. How is it that all nations could be blessed in just this the life of this one man? Well, that was looking forward to the birth of the Messiah, the one who would come as a Savior, not just to the nation of Israel, but truly a Savior to all nations, to all kindreds, to all tongues. Today, all nations are truly blessed because God was faithful to send out of the seed of Abraham His only begotten Son to this earth, and saw fit to lift Him up on a cross in death so that we might have life. So many times God spoke about the birth of the Messiah in the Old Testament. He told us the location. He told us the circumstances. He told us the time period. And God certainly has just fulfilled them all. And when Christ lived upon this earth, you know, He fulfilled over 300 prophecies in His life here. Something that is just astronomically impossible to do. But we see that He did it. And you can go through the Bible book by book, and you can see just exactly how God has been faithful time and time again. But praise the Lord, our God is not just a God who was faithful in times past. Not just a God who is faithful in days past, but He is a God that remains faithful today. You know, just a couple of weeks ago, on a Tuesday, we had a snow. It was cold, it was snowing outside, it seemed, you know, here it was April, and this winter that started all the way back in November of last year seemed like it was never going to end. But folks, we knew that by the time that April rolled around about halfway through, spring was going to show up. And this morning you look out there and you see the trees budding and you see the flowers on the trees and you see that it showed up. And why did it show up? Because God is faithful to what He said. He said in Genesis 8:22, while the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest and cold and heat and summer and winter and day and night shall not cease. Shall not cease. You see, when I went to bed last night, I didn't have to worry if the sun was going to come up this morning. I knew that it was going to be there. I didn't have to worry about that. It's just like clockwork. Came right on time. I don't have to worry about the moon going through its phases and going through its courses at night. I don't have to worry that the stars are going to fall out of the sky and land on the earth, because God is faithful. His timepiece is perfect. The earth and moon, they're impeccable in their courses. God is faithful today. You know how God is also faithful today? One you might not think of, but you should. He is faithful to forgive us of our sins. He's faithful to forgive us of our sins. Look over in 1 John. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9. First John chapter 1 verse number 9, it says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I have to tell you something, folks. That's something I'm pretty thankful for today. I'm pretty thankful for that. I don't know about you, but I've got a lot of sin baggage in my life. I've got a lot that I've stocked up over time. Even when I was saved, as Brother Randy was talking about, those times we were away from home, those times we got out into the world, there's times, listen, you couldn't have told me from the most vile man on earth. But I tell you what, I worship a God who is faithful and a God who is faithful to forgive whenever we confess our sins before Him. Is that a license for us to sin? No way. Not at all. Because here's part two of that. You know what else He's faithful in today? We may not like it at times, but He's faithful in disciplining His children. Psalms 119, verse 75 says, I know, O Lord, that Thy judgments are right, that Thou in faithfulness has afflicted me. When we stray into sin in our lives, He is faithful to chasten us. Why does He chasten us? Because He loves us. He loves us. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 6 and 7, for whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom He receiveth. If you endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? Have you ever felt the chastening hand of God in your life? When you're involved, when you've gone out and gone astray and you get out into the world, have you ever felt that chastening hand of God? Well, praise the Lord for it, because by it you know indeed that you're a son or daughter of God. God hasn't dealt with you as a bastard, but as His child. These are just a few ways that God has shown His faithfulness in this present world in which we live in. Now, because we see the faithfulness of God in times past, how He's fulfilled all those promises that He had in His Word, and how He is fulfilling those things, and because we see the faithfulness of God in our lives right now, you know what they help us to do? To trust in the faithfulness of God for tomorrow, for our futures. You know, the future can be a scary thing. It is for us because we don't know what tomorrow will bring. And fear of the unknown brings a lot of stress and brings a lot of anxiety into the life of many and into the life of many Christians as well. And because He lives, though, folks, and because He is faithful, there are some things that we ought not worry about. I think one of the things that wipes out most of us, wipes me out of time sometimes, is finances. You know what? Many Americans are, you know, we're the wealthiest people upon this earth. We have more than anybody else, and at the end of the week we have just about as less as anybody else. That's just the way we live. But you know what? God is faithful to provide for His children their needs. Not all their wants, but their needs. Some of the most comforting words of Scripture come to us from the book of Matthew, and I'd like for you to turn with me there. Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, beginning in verse 25, says, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit to his stature? Believe me, I've tried. Don't work. And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. Yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall He not much more clothe ye, O ye of little faith? Christ says, when we have anxiety over meeting our needs for today and tomorrow and the next day, what we're showing is little faith in the one who has been shown faithful and who has promised to take care of the needs of His children. You know, how many times do we fret over maybe a bill in our lives, wondering how in the world we're ever going to pay for it. When the time comes, God made sure that you had it. Brother Greg talked about a story last week in his life, how that took place. It's happened in my life many times. Now, does that mean that we shouldn't be good stewards of what the Lord has given us? No. We can't expect God to bail out all of our follies and when we go out and just go crazy. But listen, God does promise to provide for our needs. That is a promise of God, and He will. Secondly, not only do we need not fear those earthly things, that kind of temporal thing, but you know what? We need not fear losing our salvation. We need not fear losing our salvation. You know, many people today live in fear, trying to work out their own salvation, afraid that they haven't done enough to keep their salvation, or that one day they're going to do something bad and they're going to die. As one told me, you know, it's like they've lived a great life, go down the road and think a bad thought, run off the road and hit a telephone pole and die. They might go to hell because they haven't had time to confess that one sin. Folks, I'm glad I don't have to worry about things like that. I know that my salvation is sure. Otherwise, if I didn't, I'd have the greatest anxiety in the world. You wouldn't keep me from this building. This is where I'd stay all the time. I know I can't live up to keep it, and I know that I wasn't good enough to gain it. I'm certainly not good enough to keep it. But I know instead that my salvation is sure and that my God is able to keep me. I love the words of Romans, and you know them well, in Romans chapter 8, verses 38 and 39, "For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." I tell you what, brothers and sisters, that's a wonderful thing. That is a wonderful promise of God. My God is able to keep us in His hand, and no one or no thing is able to pluck you from His hand. The day that you were made sure in Christ, you were made secure for eternity. Thirdly, this afternoon, He is faithful because He is faithful, there is something else we can trust Him in, and that is that we need not fear death. We need not fear death. Death scares a lot of people. If you spend any time at a hospital, if you spend any time at a nursing home, you will run across people that are absolutely scared to death to die. But you go around to these same places and you'll find some Christians. And you'll find some Christians who know that it is not death to die, but they are ready to go. Ready to go. I remember we had a brother there at Big Creek one time, Brother Kurt Chadwick. He was sick and in the hospital. And he told the doctor, he says, "You know what, I'm paying an awful lot of money for y'all to keep me out of heaven." Well, what a wonderful testimony that is. That's the way we should be. We should be ready to go. Listen, we know and we are confident, as told us by the words of Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 8, "We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord." Folks, when we die, we are confident that God is faithful. Those angels are going to come and carry us right into the bosom of Jesus Christ. I am convinced of that, and God is faithful, and He is able to do it. And lastly, and quickly now, because of the faithfulness of God, we know that some upon this earth will not see death, but that some will be called up into glory, indeed to meet Him in the sky. Folks, Jesus Christ said, "I come quickly." Because He has been faithful to His Word, because He is faithful to His Word, I know without a shadow of a doubt that He will be faithful to that Word as well. He said, "In my Father's house are many mansions, and I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I'm going to come again, and I'm going to gather you." Folks, that's what He's going to do. So as we dismiss today, let me ask you this. Are you ready to meet our faithful God? Are you ready to meet our faithful God? Have you been saved by the blood of the Lamb, because that's the only way you'll ever be ready to meet our faithful God, because He's also made some other promises in His Word for those that are lost, those that don't know Him. He's promised in His Word that someday every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. Folks, one of these days, you're going to stand before an almighty God, and you're going to try to give an account for the things that you've done for in this life. And I'm speaking to the lost here at this time. And you're going to be found wanting. And you're going to confess Him, and you're going to bow down. But folks, it's going to be too late, because the promise is a promise of everlasting fire. Do I say that to scare you? No, I say it because it's the truth of God's Word. I pray that you might trust in Christ today. Trust in Him. He'll be faithful to save you. Call upon His name. Brother Randy, if you would, come lead us.